Hello. Can you hear me? I'm doing something new with this microphone. It's good to be together, isn't it, this morning? I'm so glad to be here with you. I asked Tom, and he nicely agreed to sing that song because it is a thrill to be together with God's people. No matter where we are, if we're in this building or if we see each other in the store, it is a beautiful thing, and that's what I wanted to. That's what I want to speak to you about today. You know, I don't know what it's like to jump out of an airplane, but it's probably a little bit like how I'm feeling right now. You have good intentions till you get up in that plane, and then you know, are you will you jump or won't you? But I'm honored to be up here. You know, I want to preach like Eddie Hendricks. I want to preach like Tommy South or Mike Green or our dear brother Russ, which does such a wonderful job. What a blessing to have him in this family and the love that he gives to us, him and Cindy both. And I'm just so glad that they're able to see their grandchildren and to see their children. So just be aware that I am not the preacher here. But what I am is I'm a part of this body, and this body, we each have different roles, but sometimes the roles switch around. It's whatever we need, but it's an honor to be here in front of you, and I just want to remind you how beautiful this body is that we belong to. That's what I want to do today. I want you to think about what part of the body you are. How do you fit into the body of Christ? I'd like you to think about how you're making it these days through this difficult time. How the times are affecting your part in this body. I'd like to know what your outlook, or to think about your outlook about the future, because the future's coming for those that are still here. There will be a future. There'll be future works for us. So I'd like to start off with, I don't have screen. We have our Bible. Maybe you have your Bible. I don't know. We're kind of getting away from looking in our Bibles. I don't know if that's a good thing. Technology is good, but it, in many ways, it's changed the way we are and made us kind of, I don't want to say lazy, but I'm just saying it's real convenient to sit there when Russ puts them all up there and we can just read them. But I'm going to start off with Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, which we know very very well. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Our worship together, our fellowship together in the body of Christ is very different than the world. You know, the world, if the world looks at our individual differences and they separate us into groups. The thing about the world is we don't get to pick the group that we're in, you know. If your skin is one color, you're in that group. You just don't have a choice. Whereas the body of Christ, you have had a choice. You had a choice what group you want to be in and what a group this is. You wanted to be in the body of Christ and you gave your life to him. And you get to choose this. You don't get stuck in it by the world. The world divides. We've become a part of this body, and that's why it's such a joy to get together, is because we get the relief of being out in the world. When we come together as one, this is the only place, the only body, not this place, but the only body is in the body of Christ where we can be as one and not be divided or shouldn't be divided.
We get relief from this dark world. And that's part of the beauty of this body of Christ, is our acceptance, our choice in the matter, and the love that we have in this body. I'm going to continue reading Romans chapter 12 at verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to us, given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then you prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then you serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. See, all these differences we all have, and this is a short list. There's many different places for us to be in this body. We all have different gifts and different talents and different places to be and different functions. But we belong to this one body. And in this body, we embrace our differences. In fact, we need to be different. We can't all be one part. We all belong and we're all needed. We need each other. I'd like to continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. See, God takes our differences and uses them in this body. He uses them for our common good, for the common good. He gives them to who He wills. God has given you something to share, part of this beautiful body. Do you know what it is? Are you still looking for it? Are you able to do your duties during these difficult times? He put us in this body. He put us in the body where He wanted us to be put in the body. He takes our differences and unites us as one for our common good. It's all by His design. It's not our choice. You know, Russ is here preaching. I'm in charge of the baptistry. Now, you might not think that's a big job, and it's not. I mean, it's a responsibility, don't get me wrong. You need to be able to baptize people. It's not preaching. Now, it's when the water is cold, that's the weight of responsibility on me is tremendous. It's important. All functions are important. To have a clean building is important. To have people pick members that need to be picked up, to look after one another. Everything is important here. teaching the little kids, no matter how many you have in the class, everything is important. What is your job? Just think about that. We continue reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 20. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an ear, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed these parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If there were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Again, God has arranged this body, arranged us, and thank God, I thank God that He's put me in the body here. The body of Christ as a whole, and then this family at Edge Hill, to allow me the honor of serving Him in this body. And I know you feel the same as well. You know, people want to rearrange. They want to rearrange the parts, and they want to prioritize certain parts. I mean, that's the division. That's denominationalism. They want to change the things. But God has it perfect. He has it perfect in his Word. What our duties are. What He wants us to be. They think higher of themselves. But then there's some that say, I don't need the body. I'm sure you know some people like that. They don't feel like they need to be a part of the body. And that's a sad thing. You know, we're missing a lot of people here, and due to the situation that we're in. But God has us all together for a purpose. He likes to gather all His people together. But He uses us to fill the needs for each other. How can you fill a need if you're separated from the body? How can you serve in that capacity? And then the other thing is, how can you have your needs filled, separated from the body? You know, it's a choice. It's a choice to be with one another. But if we're not connected to the body, how are we doing it? How are we making it? We need each other. And as this time grows, and on and on and on with the changing of this world, as Russ has been, it's been very good what he's been preaching, because time is marching on. Times are changing. We need each other. We need each other more and more. It's a critical time for the church. That being said, that's the beauty of the body, that we're arranged by God. It's for our good that we be together. We're sheep. We need to be in a pack. You get in trouble. You know, the one sheep, he got in trouble when he drifted off, didn't he? Christ brought him back to the 99. We need to stay together. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we can love one another. So I want to bring something up, this COVID thing. And I don't want you to get me wrong. Just give me a little leeway. There's a whole lot of different ways of looking at this COVID thing. Maybe you look at it different than I do. We all do, and that's our freedom. You know, this is an individual thing when it comes to this epidemic or pandemic, this disease. Because this disease not only affects the human body, but it has affected the church. And you know this. you've heard. Well, you see it today. Glad to see everybody here, but we're missing a whole lot of people, and it's changed everybody's life. And right now, this is about 1 year later. I looked at my text messages from church. March 29th, the elders here at the church obeyed the restrictions given by the governor. We stayed at home. We didn't come to church. Then I looked in April 19th, the elders decided to return to worship. And they decided not to turn anybody away that wanted to worship. We adhere to the elders here. They make the decisions of this church. We trust them to make the right decisions. And they are a great eldership. But Satan is so crafty, and I've looked at this, and I've kind of seen he's really good. You know, the fear that he has put in people, I've never in my lifetime seen people so scared. The mask that we wear, how that's changed life. How I miss seeing all of your faces. Brian Batts came in here, I don't know if it was 2 weeks ago. I said, brother, I need to see your smile. And he took his mask off and smiled. Let me tell you, this man's got a pretty smile. I love that man. Seeing faces, you know, Satan's good. Cover everybody's face up. We communicate with our faces. Again, I'm not saying take your mask off. I'm just saying, although I did ask Brian and he obliged me, what we're missing out. What we're missing out with the mask. You know, the no hugs. How you doing, James? It's rough, isn't it? You can't touch nobody. I miss the hugs. We used to hug. I'm a hugger. We used to hug here. I used to greet everybody. you're probably relieved about that. And then the fellowship. How about our fellowship time? You know, these are the things that I miss. The things that are important. On the first day of the week, we'd gather together. Been doing it since the day of Pentecost, and hugging, and eating, breaking bread, and communion. And that's taken a big toll on it. Now there's two people in my lives that have looked at this, I think, totally different. I have my mother, which has totally stopped, not totally, has really, she's scared. And she's at home, and I have seen her, but she doesn't go to worship. She's very concerned, and she's taking all the precautions that Dr. Fauci gives to her. And that's one. And then we have our dear sister Ursula, who has taken a different approach, and she has lived with what I've seen is no fear. So you have these two different ways and two different individual choices. I'm not saying my mother's wrong. I love her and I want to hug her. But, and there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with Ursula and what she chooses. It's your choice. So you can look at this differently, and we can't let that separate us, because that has separated churches. This has been a big thing for churches. Because what Satan has done is he's put one right down the middle on us. And I think this us that study the Bible, we'll look at this. There's two scriptures. Romans 13, verse 1 says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." The authorities that exist have been established by God. Okay, we know this. We submit to authorities. We're supposed to be submissive to the authorities. But then you have the Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see that? Two scriptures. Right down the middle. What do we do? Well, we have elders that make that decision in this church. But we have our individual lives. The church is not only here, but it's elsewhere. What do we decide to do? I'm not saying, do you go against the authorities? Do you go against God? That we were down to a 10-person limit, I believe, from the governor, and we were going to hold that, as the elders had decided. But then someone had come to us. He couldn't turn them away. He could not bring it to himself to say, you can't worship with us. It kind of brought the two opposing things together, and you had to make a decision. Can you tell someone they can't worship? Do we know? Do you know that some churches never stopped meeting together? They didn't stop. Not only did they didn't stop, they didn't mandate masks. If you want to wear a mask, you could wear a mask. But you didn't have to wear a mask while worshiping. The Glen Allen Church, they have the mansion, and then they have the worship hall, and they have no mask mandate in one place, and if you want to be in a place where everyone's wearing a mask, you can wear a mask. Great uproar. We were one of the first ones to reopen. I don't know if you know that or not, but we were one of the first ones to reopen. Now, that decision in itself can cause division because people don't want to miss out. They don't think it's the right decision to make. Now you're putting pressure on somebody to come, and maybe they're not ready, and it just causes division. Again, I'm not saying which way you should go. But I guess my point today is you are part of the body. And how's that working? Because we can look at this physically, but this is spiritual. Like Satan, if you had to pick a way of attacking the church, isn't this pretty good? Keep them from meeting together. Cover their faces. Don't let them touch one another. And in the midst of all of that, the decision making, you're going to cause division. Satan is good. But we can't let that come into the church. And we need to see this for what it is. But how is that affecting your duty to the body? How is it affecting mine? Now I want to think about moving forward, because things are changing. Things are opening back up. We need to start thinking, we need to start preparing for what's ahead in the changes that are coming. You know, we're starting to open up. Maybe Virginia will be one of the last, I don't know, to open up. Not like Florida or Texas. But there's a new precedence. You know, how often does a disease come along? It's a cycle. It comes so it's probably going to happen again. So I understand when this pandemic came and we didn't know much about it. People were dying. Now we're a year in, kind of analyze it. We did something. Has the church ever shut down that you can remember? Have you ever not been able to go to church? Has that ever happened before? I'm not sure. Maybe, I don't know, I wasn't here, you know, Spanish flu, but I've never remembered wearing a mask, a mandated mask. Again, I'm not fighting the government. I'm not going there. I'm just kind of stating things. Because we have to make our decisions. And I don't know about you, but when I go through something, you can make decisions if it happens again, what you're going to do. You might do the same thing. You might change what you're going to do. We've made great sacrifices during this pandemic. Great sacrifices. The pandemic is not, but what we have done has affected so many people in ways that we don't even know of right now. But this decision, whatever you decide, it's between you and God. I hope I'm saying this right. We have a body, but yet we're individuals. And we have to make those decisions, and those decisions are between you and God. The elders are going to make their decisions. We, as members of Edge Hill, will submit to our elders. We love them. We trust them. As this pandemic, I don't know if it's going to settle. I don't know. But as we open up, there's going to be opportunities for us that have been closed off. And it's going to be risky. The pandemic is real. It's going to be risky. And we need to assess that risk. But the question is, how much are we letting fear affect us? Now, I'm not talking about good fear. I'm talking about bad fear, the one, not the respect for the pandemic, but how much fear, how scared are you? And how does that affect your work for the Lord? We're in this body. God put us here. He assembled us. He put us in the places that He wants us to be for a purpose, so that we could all work together. Is fear keeping you from doing your part? And the question is, are you scared of dying? That's what we're looking at, right? This is a deadly virus. Are you scared of dying? Is the fear of dying keeping you from doing what God wants you to do? Just a question. Because we need to make sure that our decisions, the risks that we take, are in faith and not fear. Again, this could happen again. We're not out of the woods yet. It's your individual decision. We need each other. We rely on one another. We should. And we need to be together. So that's what I wanted to bring to you. How beautiful this body is that God has blessed me to be a part of. And what are we going to do as individuals making that individual decision? It's a tough decision. And it's between you and God. And it's by His Spirit that He'll protect you. So, if you're here and you're not a part of this great body, if you want to be baptized into Christ, a group full of love that's like no other group in the world, no other group pulls people from such different places and unifies them in love, true love, the love of Jesus Christ. If you want to do that, you can do that this morning. I checked the water. It is very warm and pleasant. And we will baptize you into Christ Jesus. And you can be a part of Him. And have Him inside of you. have the Spirit of God dwell inside of you. So if you want to give your life to Christ this morning, please come forward. If there's any other prayer requests, are you scared? Do you need courage? Do you need help of any kind? This is where we should go to the body. We take care of one another. So Tom has a song, and as we sing this song, you can either come forward or you can text Dale. Wes might be busy with the tragic happenings in his family. Text Dale, and we will serve you as the body of Christ. Thank you.